came into my heart as I thought about this meeting at camp not too long ago. And back home in Williamsburg, we were reading in the book of Nehemiah, and there are many lessons in that book for us and for our time here at camp. If you remember the story, those three little books, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, are really about the Jewish history after they were taken captive, and then they returned to their land. God brought them back. And what is it that stands out in the book of Nehemiah? Do you know what was his job, or what was the project? What was the work that he did for God? Nehemiah, what did he do? What's he famous for? He wrote on the wall? Oh, he rebuilt the wall. He rebuilt the wall? Yes? Of Jerusalem. He was in a far off land where he had been taken captive, and word came to him, the walls of Jerusalem are in disrepair. The remnant had returned. They had been there for quite some time. They had rebuilt the temple, but the walls still lay in ruins. And the report, when it came to him, it just grieved him in his heart. And so the king said to him, "Why are you so sad?" So what did he do? He prayed. In that moment, he prayed. And then he answered the king, and he told him what was on his heart. And what did the king say? "You can't leave me." No, he said, "Go! Go!" And he gave him supplies, and he gave him everything he needed to go and rebuild that wall. And so he returns to Jerusalem, and I don't want to go through the whole story. But when he saw the condition, and he saw the gates burned with fire, and the rubble, it really was just a pile of rubble. It seemed like an overwhelming task, I'm sure. And so what was his plan? "I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to rebuild these walls. What was his plan? How did he approach it? Well, this is what he did. He got all of the people that were dwelling there in Jerusalem and those in the surrounding communities, the Jewish people. And he said, "We need to build these walls for the glory of our God. We don't want to be a reproach anymore. We don't want our enemies to laugh at us. They have a defenseless city." And so he got each of the families, the family groups, the clans, to build a part of the wall. Wasn't that a good idea? And actually, in that story, they built the wall that was near their house. It really gave them a vested interest to do it right. That was the part of the wall where my house is, you know, it's nearby, it's protecting my house. And so they all worked together. I think it was in a little over 50 days that the wall was completely rebuilt. And thinking about that, though, I thought about camp. Now, maybe it's we can't maybe spiritualize it exactly. What is the wall? What does it symbolize? And let's just take it as this: it's a work that God has called His people to do, and it's about His kingdom. It's about the glory of His kingdom and His name. And so the work that we're doing here at camp is about God's kingdom. It's not about any individual. It's not about you. It's not about me, necessarily. We are doing His work. And each one of us has a part. He said, that's what I like. He didn't say, "I'm going to do everything." He gave each one a task to do. And I think it's like that at camp. We're not all counselors. We're not all cooks. We're not all head waitresses. We don't all work in the office, but we all have a job to do. We're assigned something to do. And it's all part of what God is doing here at camp. And every part is needed. What if one family said, "Well, I don't really want to build this part of the wall. we're not going to do it. And so that whole wall could have been built, and one part would have been left open. There would have been a breach in the wall, a place where the enemy could come in, because that family said, well, we're not going to do our part. And so every, what I want to say is every place that you fill, every place that's filled here at Camp is important in what God's doing. Now you might say, well, it's very natural. I clean the pots, or I sweep the porch. What does that have to do? It's in the way that we do it, in the fact that we've offered ourselves to God. Have you offered yourself to God? Did someone force you to come here to camp? Be honest. No, you're here because you want to be here? And so that's really what matters. That we've given ourselves to God for His work. Lord, here I am. You know, I think of that little boy in Jesus' time. What did he bring to Jesus? He brought like 5 loaves, 2 fish, 7 loaves, another story. But it was just something small. And, the disciples said, what is this among so many? And you might say, well, what I bring to God is, what is it? You know, the work is so great. What is it that I contribute? But whatever we're given to do, if we render it as a service to God, if we say, Lord, I'm doing this for you, I do it with all my heart because I love you. You know how valuable that is into the kingdom of God? That is what defeats the work of the enemy. But let's just, there's some other things in this story that are very important, because we're here to do a work for the Lord. We understand that. But you know, there might be opposition. Could that be? I thought all of the kids that come to camp are just like the most wonderful kids in the world. And they are. We have the best. But you know, some come with things in their hearts. Maybe the enemy has entrenched himself in lives. They're not fully given to God, or they haven't opened their heart to Jesus. They haven't asked Him to forgive them of, or maybe they have, but you know, the world has a way of getting in. And we want to see God work in them, and we want to see victories won. And I believe that for you as well. I want to see God break through in your lives and win victories in your lives. But sometimes there's a fight. You know, we don't sing too many of those militant songs anymore. We've lost something there, that we're in a battle. We're in a conflict. We have an enemy. And so as soon as this work began, as soon as the enemies that were around Jerusalem saw that the walls were actually making progress and getting built, they got nervous. And they didn't like it. And so they started by, first of all, making fun of them. Oh, you know, the wall that you're building, even if a fox came up, he could knock it down. You know, what you're doing, it doesn't really matter. It's a little work. And then when they saw them working so hard, they said, what do you think? You can finish it all in one day? They tried to discourage them from the work that God had given them to do. And it's the same thing here. You might say, well, what does this really mean? I only have a few girls in my group, or a few in the group. What does it mean? Beloved, we're building for eternity. Let's just look at some scriptures. The 4th chapter of Nehemiah. Verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. And how did Nehemiah respond? Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. It's interesting. You might say, Nehemiah, that was pretty harsh words. But he saw that they were opposing what God wanted to do. They were in opposition to the work that God had commissioned him to do. It wasn't that Nehemiah had said, well, I'm going to build this wall. No, God had told him, you need to build the wall. And we need to take our stand, beloved, and not allow the enemy to have a foothold in any way. And so this is what they did. In response to that, it says, so we built the wall in verse 6. And the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now, in some other translations, NIV says it this way. So we rebuilt the wall till it had reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. I like that. I like that. And so the first thing we need to understand, are we going to work at this with all our heart? Yes?
Yes.
Any dissenters? Any nays? We're going to work at this with all our heart. We read that in the New Testament. Whatever we do, we should do it with all our heart. Don't do it half-heartedly. You serve the Lord Christ. Don't do it as men pleases. Don't do it when Sister Janet's around, or you know, your head person is around watching. Oh, then I really work hard. Oh, that's when I really sweep out the corner in the kitchen. No. Move that garbage can. Move that thing and get behind there and really sweep it out. Right. Because I'm working for who? For Jesus. We had a friend who worked in the kitchen during first period. She's a friend of my wife. And she had it on her heart to come here to camp. And we planned to be here, went together, second period. But then she couldn't, and she came first period. And we said, you sure you want to go? Her first time on staff. Oh, yes, I want to go. And she just recently retired from the post office. So she's not a young person. But she had in her heart to work. And she ended up in the kitchen. And I understand she had to work. That it was hard work. But we talked on the way up, and she talked to my wife, and she said, you know, it was hard work. She said, you know what? We did it for Jesus. And so it was different. It wasn't like working for the post office necessarily, although we should do that as unto Jesus. But here she saw the vision. I'm doing it for Jesus. Do you have a mind to work? Is your heart in it? And we're going to be, you know, during these 2 weeks, we're going to be maybe tempted to just, this is getting a little bit long. I'm tired. And then you're going to need to remind yourself, Lord, I've committed to you to do this with all my heart. And so the wall was built in spite of the opposition. Something else happened. The enemies didn't stop. Let's see what happens. But it came to pass, verse 7, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So they were taking this quite seriously. We're going to come with our armies and we're going to stop you by force. And so how do they respond to that? What does Nehemiah do? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And so here, they had a mind to work, but they also had a heart to pray. We made our prayer unto God. Now, there are times that we set aside here at camp for prayer. You might say, why do we do that? Why do we need to pray? Why do the counselors get up at 6:30 and gather for prayer? I would like to sleep till 8. Why do they get us up and get us to the kitchen early so that we can read our devotional and pray together? Why is that, Brother Gus? That's because our strength lies in our contact with God. If you're not connected, there's no power. They knew that God was on their side, and so they prayed to God. Do you think their army was bigger than the armies around them? What do you think? I don't think so. I think this was a real threat for them. But they prayed to God. And what does the Bible say? If God be for us, who can be against us? I think also of that story of the prophet when they came to take him. And his servant got up and he looked out. What did he see? He saw the army surrounding the city. He said, we're in trouble. And I think it was Elisha, wasn't it? I have pastors here. I have to really be careful what I say. And Elisha said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. And when he looked, what did he see? Around the hills, the chariots of God, the chariots of fire. Oh, God is for us, beloved. He surrounds this place. And he's just waiting for us to call upon him and to pray and say, God. Somehow he's made it that way. You say, why don't God just do what he needs to do? Somehow he's made it this way, that he's made us partners, co-laborers together with him. And how is it that we bring down that blessing? It's as we pray, as we're in faith, as we call upon him, as we cry out to him. You see, this was really important to this people. They took this seriously. It wasn't something that they could say, well, you know, take it. No, this was important to them. And I trust that this work at camp is important to us enough that we will pray. I believe it's Andrew Murray who says, there is enough in God. There is enough in God to meet every need. But it takes prayer, mighty prayer, to bring the blessing down. And so I encourage you, counselors, as you know, the first day it's okay to get up and pray. The second day is good. The third day. You see, I've done this. I speak from experience. And as you go through those 2 weeks, it gets harder and harder to get up and be on time for that prayer meeting. But be faithful, and God will reward your faithfulness and will strengthen you. How many times he poured out his Spirit upon us as we just called upon him and put forth that effort to seek his face, to put him first, and to realize that I cannot go into this day apart from his anointing upon my life. So they had this opposition from without. We don't have time. I need to move on here. But it came to a point where Nehemiah said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Half of you are going to work and build, and half of you are going to carry the swords and the spears. You're going to be ready. And I thought that's a nice or a good picture for us too. Now, we might not be on this end of camp. We might not be on the front line, so that we might not be building the wall in the village. But we can carry the sword and the spear, and we can stand behind them and fight for them in prayer, in faith, in love. I thought even the waitresses, you set the tables, right, in the morning? Now, I think I heard a story once about a teacher who, before the students would come in every morning, he would walk up and down and pray for every chair and every student that came into his class before they got there. And I thought that we could almost do the same thing, right? Every plate represents the child, right? Every dish that we wash, every pot, because it represents people, the people that we serve. And we could pray for every plate, as it were, or every child. Lord, you know the one that's going to sit here this morning. You bless them. You work in their hearts. You take it as you will. I'm not saying that you should do that unless God puts that on your heart. But if he reminds you to do that, wouldn't that be a wonderful way to join with those who are building the wall? Stand behind them and say, we're supporting what God is doing in their lives. Just maybe one or two more verses. In 6:3, now the wall was almost complete. It seems he had not, actually the wall had been built, and yet the gates hadn't been set in their place. And the opposition still is there. And they told Nehemiah, why don't you come down and talk to us? Come pay us a visit. You know, we want to talk. Come have coffee with us. You know? And it says, but they were scheming to harm me, verse 2. So I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. And then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his right-hand man with a letter. And in verse 8, I sent him this reply, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. What a man Nehemiah was. A man of courage. He knew what they were about. But I liked what he said. He said, I'm doing a great work. And I'd like us to understand that we are doing a great work here. As I said before, we are building for eternity. And so I'd like to just maybe warn us not to allow anything to distract us. How many of you brought your cell phones? Oh, I maybe shouldn't answer. Don't raise your hands. I don't really need to know. But are we going to allow things, maybe friends at home or calls that come in, or are we going to allow that to distract us from what God is doing? Now I have talked about the council, but I believe God's building a wall in your lives as well. Each one of us. God is maybe rebuilding some things that have crumbled. He's strengthening his work in our lives. And we don't want to be distracted. And there are so many distractions. Couldn't we just for this time at camp put aside those distractions? You know, it used to be when you came up to camp, there was no phones. I mean, there was, but you had to go by the office. And you didn't want Sister Lee to hear what you were saying on the phone. You know? I remember in the village, we used to have an outside line. That was great. They cut that off now? Oh, too bad. But, we were somewhat separate, you know? And you used to hear news. Someone would come up and they'd tell you what had happened. You know, we as kids, we worried about the sports teams. Nixon, I think I was here when Nixon was impeached. It was in the summer. crazy stuff, right? See, I look over at Brother John because we're from the same era. He's got me, well, he's a little younger than I am. I know you couldn't tell that, but. Now, where was I? Nixon was impeached. Yes, we're distracted. See, I'm distracted. Let's put aside the things that distract us. All right? Counselors, workers, can we do that? You're committing, you're so agreeable to everything I say. It's wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful time here. I want you to think about the what I'm saying, all right? Consider it. Distractions. Serving God is the greatest work, the greatest thing that you can do. Living for Him every day, doing what He asks us to do. There's nothing greater than that. And in that day, your life is not going to be evaluated as being successful because you made a name for yourself in this life, or how popular you were, or what you accumulated, the things you have. The thing that will matter in that day is whether or not He says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And there in Matthew 25, He talks about the little things that somehow determine our eternity. That cup of cold water, that visit to the sick person, the one in prison, doing that maybe small deed in His name because of the love of God in our hearts is the thing that really matters. It separates the sheep from the goats. Read it, Matthew 25. And so whatever we do, I'm encouraging us. We're one in our purpose here, aren't we? We want to do what God has called us to do. We want to see the victory that He intended for this time. And so we're all part of that. There's just one other verse in back in the fourth chapter, the 10th verse. Something happened while they were building. One of the group that belonged to the tribe of Judah, that part of the wall, it said this: "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.'" What does that sound like to you? A little bit of discouragement? And the enemy would like to use that. You know, it seems that that's maybe his favorite attack, is to get us to be discouraged. Maybe we do something and we really work hard at it and nobody even notices. Or if they notice, they don't appreciate it. Ever happened to you? You think you're doing the right thing, and you're doing it with all your heart, and nobody notices. And so we get a little discouraged. Or maybe someone criticizes us. That's even worse, right? You serve the Lord Christ. Remember that. But this people, they were discouraged. They felt that the work was too much for them. The rubble was too much. We have to clear out all this rubble and then we have to rebuild. And maybe there'll be girls who come or boys who come and they've got a lot of rubble. And it's going to take a lot of love. And more love than you have to help them get rid of that rubble and to love them when they're unlovable. Or when they say, "Well, I don't really want to be here at camp. My mother sent me here. I don't want to be here." Don't be discouraged. Don't let your hands grow weak. Don't let your strength fade. I think that brings us to the table of the Lord. It's not about our strength. We sing that song, "Our strength has failed ere the day is half done." He wants to pour in His life, Himself, into you and to me. And we can receive that moment by moment. Now tonight we're going to come as a body here at Pilgrim Camp, and we're going to receive these emblems. But every day, it's something that you could do every day. And we ought to do it every day. Lord, today I receive your life. In communion, we're to remember what the Lord has done for us. We remember His sacrifice. We remember His broken body. We remember the blood that was shed. But it goes on beyond that. It's not just remembering. It's receiving His life. Do you understand that? When we come to the table of the Lord, we are receiving His life. Jesus says, "I give myself to you." And He gives us these symbols, the bread and the grape juice, and it becomes part of us, right? We take it in, it becomes part of us. We talked about that. The things that we eat becomes part of us. And it's Jesus is saying, I want to come to you. I want to come right inside. I want to be your life. I want to be your strength. I want to be your victory. I want my love to fill you. And so, receive me. Remember what I've done, but receive my life. Receive me. And as I said, we can do that all the time. This is to help us. It's something that we can hold in our hands. But throughout our time here at camp, we can look back to this night and say, "Lord, feed me again. I'm hungry for you. Feed me. Strengthen me. Fill me with your life."